Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Casual Comics Cast. It's me, Joe, your Casual Comics guy. And since we're talking DC Comics, I must have Jeff with me today. What's up, Jeff?
Hi everybody. I'm good. How are you, Joe?
Oh, I'm great because today we're talking The Flash, which you can help me get properly excited for. And then we're going to, you know, I've been trying to avoid spoilers for this, which is hard.
Me
DC
too.
DC is like doing their damnedest to be like, let me just ruin the whole movie for everybody by showing you everything and every trick. Like, I'm just watching a random basketball game and it's like, hey, here's a giant spoiler in your face.
Yeah. No, I have been very, very, very careful about not looking at any of the articles online. None of the YouTube videos saying, hey, here's the latest cameo that's confirmed and all that stuff. Like, I don't want to know.
So the one thing we do know is there's a lot of Batmans in the movie. Okay.
At least two. Yeah.
I'm hoping the animated Batman pops up from, like, literally it's just the cartoon Batman from the Justice, from Super Friends.
R.I.P. Kevin Conroy.
No, the one I'm talking about, the one from Super Friends. And just like
R.I.P. Olin Sule.
I just want to see that choppy animation that they try and combine in there. And then we know Supergirl's in it. You can't avoid that fact.
And yeah, I don't think that's a secret at all.
So we're going to talk The Flash. We're going to talk a little bit about Supergirl. We'll learn as we go together. But overall, Jeff, Flash comes out in a couple weeks, and you were just telling me you're going to be there opening night in the front row, right?
Never in the front row. And sadly, I'm going to be on vacation on June 16th when this movie comes out, so I will not likely get to see it opening weekend.
But The Flash is like your all-time, he's your jam.
He's in my top five, absolutely.
Top five?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Run it down. Top. What number is he?
In no DC? Particular order.
Or just DC?
Just DC. No particular order. Flash, Shazam, Batman, Plastic Man. How about Plastic Man?
Okay.
Just for a little spice.
That's four.
That was five. I can't count.
Flash, Shazam, Batman. Plastic Man.
And... The
all right, so you hate all of the DC except for four
Metamorpho.
Metamorpho.
The Element Man.
I like it. Yeah, because it's tough to put Superman up there, although we'll see what they do with Superman in the future. But so in the interest of trying to avoid spoilers, though, I mean, what are you looking forward to about this Flash film?
I'm looking forward to a really good story that resets the Snyderverse.
Okay.
For as much as I enjoyed the Snyderverse for what it was when it was the only game in town, I'm really glad to see it go because it was the wrong take on these characters as far as I'm concerned. It's too dark. It's too depressing. It's too... These characters are not all... They're not all Batman, and they need to be given their due and treated differently. It's the same problem I had with the Dick Tracy movie. Not every one of those villains was a gangster, and they treated them all the same way. And it was just, let's just paint every character the same. And they just really squandered some fantastic storylines.
Yeah, I hear you. What I'm hearing early buzz on the Flash movie is people are liking it. And then shockingly, because of what we just said, they're putting everything online. They're like, test audiences are slightly confused because they are blurring out like the last 15 minutes of the movie. Like they're showing test audiences everything but the last 15 minutes because they don't want a Henry Cavill situation on their hands showing up in Black Adam or wherever he was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have excised any Henry Cavill cameos from this movie.
I'll tell you what, I'm trying like heck to avoid it all, and I feel like I know every cameo already. So something must go down. Like in the last 15 minutes, all of a sudden Thanos must appear or something. I don't know if they're trying to, if they're, like, this is now, this is the one we got to keep under wraps. This is the one.
Yeah, a bit early for that Marvel DC crossover, don't you think?
They've got like a CGI Stan Lee. Go, mm-hmm.
I never understood Batman. Yeah, no. I don't know. That was the worst Stan Lee impression of all time. I'm really excited by the idea that something so good that's worth blacking it out and not letting anybody know about it. I'm so excited about that prospect that I'm just like, okay, sure, it's working on me. You're doing a William Castle. You're like, okay, right? Nope, nobody's allowed in the theater.
I was going to say, is this the life insurance policies are available in the lobby because you will be frightened to death.
Exactly. Oh, here's your complimentary barf bag with this horror film.
This will either be one of the better things that DC has done in the last decade, or just a flaming pile of poo on the doorstep on the way for James Gunn to take over, which I'm looking forward to because I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 3 this last weekend for the fifth time in theaters. I cannot.
Wow. Wow. No, and I can see why, because it was a great movie.
That's the Alamo. You and I got that Alamo Draft House thing. It doesn't cost me more. I got a subscription.
Right. Exactly.
$20 a month, unlimited movies. I'll see that movie as many times as I can before it's out of theaters. And by the way, on Sunday, and it was in their smaller house, sold out. So
really? Very good. And there's nothing like seeing a movie like that within a full house.
Right.
There's just, you can't replace that experience.
All right. So we are going to talk a little bit, though, about Supergirl. And like I said, we read a couple comic books. We read a comic from the New 52 era, which was the 90s Supergirl, Last Daughter of Krypton. And then we read an old adventure comics from the 60s. We'll compare and we'll contrast. Then we'll talk about Supergirl and who she is and what you can look forward to seeing her in the Flash movie. And this will probably be a little bit of an abbreviated podcast, a little Shaggy Dog version of let's get this in before the Flash comes out. Right?
Yes. Oh, I thought you were throwing to that.
You just can't get rid of a bomb.
Sorry, my audio cut out for a second. I didn't know if you could hear me or not.
No, I heard everything. I was anticipating it. Like, where is it? Where is it?
Oh, there it is. The Casual Comics Cast. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
And that's a fact.
That guy's good. You should pay him double what you're paying him now.
I will think about it. We'll see. But welcome back to the Casual Comics Cast after that. And let's talk Supergirl, Jeff. So, like, Supergirl,
let's do it.
Plays a very prominent role in the trailer for The Flash. And so I thought, let's catch up on some Supergirl comics. I know that I believe that they've announced with James Gunn that they are going to take on Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow, which is written by Tom King. And you reminded me we already reviewed on a prior episode of the Casual Comics Cast.
Yes, we did.
But I was like, let's take a look at another. I mean, this is a character that's been around forever. So we're going to start with Superman, Last Daughter of Krypton, which came from the New 52 era. And this was an interesting read to me. You have it in front of you. You got the people's names, or do I need to look this up here?
I've got the Adventure Comics open at the moment. Let me grab the other one.
All right.
Here we go. Popping it open right now.
All right.
Yeah, just vamp for a little bit here, Joe.
I'm trying, but unfortunately, this new audio setup is really giving me fits on how to open this window while we're doing this. So gotcha. This is Supergirl. Last Daughter of Krypton, written by Michael Green.
Yes.
And four more, apparently.
Mike Johnson, Mahmoud Asrar, and Dan Green.
And man with the amazing solicit here of Meet Supergirl. She's got the unpredictable behavior of a teenager, the same powers as Superman, and none of his affection for the people of Earth. So don't piss her off. And
sound advice.
Right? This comic opens with a meteor shower and it being monitored by the government, government, you assume the U.S. government.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. They're like, this reminds us a lot of the incident in Kansas.
Hmm.
And Like, you're not presenting us any kind of mystery, Michael Green, of what they're talking about. I know.
Except Kal-El's ship didn't burrow all the way through Earth and come out in Siberia.
Somehow that's a thing that happened. And so it's a ship, crash lands, as you can imagine, when this is called Supergirl Last Out of Krypton. And they're like, this is almost exactly what happened in Kansas. Yeah, it's Supergirl in there. I got it. Spoiler alert. And then there are protocols in place for if something crashes to Earth like this. And apparently it is giant, huge robots or dudes in mechanical robot suits. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to take care of the situation. And they have run into what is indeed a pissed off teenage Supergirl who can't understand any of them because she doesn't speak English.
Right.
And then I don't know what did you expect from this? Because I don't know that I got what I thought I was going to get when I said, let's read this book.
How do you mean?
I mean, I thought I was going to get a little bit of introducing Supergirl and not just a 24 page battle scene that ends
right.
With nothing really. And it's not a shock. She's wearing basically the Supergirl costume.
Mm-hmm. Right out of the capsule.
Sure. And then Superman shows up and speaks to her in Kryptonian. Mm-hmm. The end. It's like,
well, what more do you want? You want a big whiz bang introduction? Hey, here she is. Wow, look at this. She's got the same powers as Superman. She's breaking up robots. She's we're done. Okay.
She's got a very high cut on the leg of her outfit there. I mean, this was just kind of what year is this from? I mean, it's very, to me, it's very dated.
2011?
It's not really nuanced at all in any way. Yeah. Not that that's what you're always looking for in a comic book, but it's very much punchy, the end. And yeah. Then it didn't really make me want to go, you know what I need to do? I need to read the next issue because I kind of got it.
But isn't this how Supergirl is going to be being portrayed in the Flash movie?
Maybe. You're probably right. You're probably right that it looks like in the trailers, she's just pissed off and punching stuff. And I can't imagine there's much character development beyond that.
Well, not at first. I mean, you do have a whole movie to see what happens to her. But based on everything they've shown us in the trailer so far, that's about all she does.
That is true.
Yeah. So, but this, you know, the artwork's really good in this comic. The writing, such as it is, you know, competent. And, you know, it does give enough of a teaser to make you kind of want more.
Okay, so it's 89 cents per book on Kindle. Are you going to get the next one?
If we review the second one, then yes, I will. But the average reader that's really kind of into Supergirl, yeah, I bet they'd want to go for more.
You're probably right. Actually, I am what I consider to be a casual comics guy. And I am interested in Supergirl in that I read Tom King's book and I loved it. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm not the normal, like, I'm not the target demo for this. I'm not like 16-year-old boy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
As I don't know if people can tell, but I'm a little older than that now. But I mean, I think it's almost a relic of its time, which is weird to say because it's not that old, but it's not nuanced in any way. And it is definitely launching the new 52. And I just remember when the new 52 came about, I was like, that's all the new 52 is they've, and maybe it is because it's a reboot. They were like erasing the characters in that, like, you're not supposed to know them again. They're a blank slate. And we've, mm-hmm. taken away everything that you might have liked about this character before, because we're reintroducing them, the new 52, for a brand new audience who may never have read any comic with this character in it before. So I could get on board with that.
Right. We're taking away the character and we're adding a bunch of lines to the costumes.
Yeah, it's a really weird costume. Yeah.
Not her so much, but Batman, the Flash, they all had a bunch of lines on their costume. I'm like, that really doesn't, what purpose do those serve?
Yeah, the
The new 52 just kind of, I didn't get into it.
Maybe we'll get somebody to explain the new 52 to us at some point. Or maybe you and I will look into it and do a little more research to talk about new 52. But regardless, now we're going to rewind and go back in time to classic Supergirl Adventure Comics number 385.
Mm-hmm.
And this was from 1958, I believe.
Okay.
We're just going to go with it. 1958.
Sure.
Creators. I mean, Kurt Swan's a creator I've heard of before. But like, this was golden age at its finest.
Oh yeah. This is it's golden age, but it's really almost into silver age, because they're doing a lot of science fiction stuff at this point.
They're doing some science fiction-y stuff. And I'll tell you, I only read the first of the two stories in it. So we'll just talk about the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Supergirl having dating problems. And yes. I'm on board with that right away. Like, I want to understand what kind of problems a teenage girl with superpowers might have in that era trying to find a date. And obviously, it's because she's better than everybody at everything. At a time when it wasn't cool for women to be better at everything than certain men.
Those were ungroovy times.
Right?
Yeah.
Kicks off with her talking to her cousin, Superman.
For dating advice.
For dating advice. And then she goes and accesses the supercomputer in the Fortress of Solitude and basically invents Match.com. Back in 1958, she programs in, here's the kind of person I'm looking for. Here's me and everything about me. It's like, I've scoured the universe. This is your perfect match.
Yeah, and then just as she finds her perfect match, Superman bursts in. It's like, what are you doing? Did I give you permission to be in the fortress and to access all of my computer files?
It's called the Fortress of Solitude. I needed to use this computer alone.
I didn't even delete my history, and you're sitting here messing around on my computer.
But Superman, like, he's like, you're not gonna want to date this person, but I'm not gonna tell you why. She's like, no, this is a perfect match for me. He's like, well, I've been to that planet a few times. You'll find out.
Yeah, and I guess he's got to be, she needs some kind of a father figure to kind of tell her, no, this is a bad idea, but it's really kind of silly. Why doesn't he tell her?
I don't know.
Because, you know, we wouldn't have a story otherwise, but.
Right.
Yeah.
If he had just told her, and then, I don't know. I mean, I think he wants her to learn a lesson, which is fascinating to me. Like I said, I really enjoy these types of comics because they're definitely a relic of their time. It like absolutely really illuminates for you socially what was going on in the world. What was Superman's like problem? What did he tell her of like why she shouldn't go there? He's like, it's the last place Supergirl will find a perfect match. She's in for a real heartbreak if she falls for Volar, but she'll have to find out for herself.
Yep.
Like, because Volar looks like a hunky dude.
And sure
according
does.
To the computer, it literally says perfect choice for Supergirl.
But Superman says appearances can be deceiving. Remember, even my computer is just a machine. You're asking for trouble, believe me.
Right. So she goes to this planet and her and this Volar have a lot in common. And this planet is even more than Earth. It's like all women are subservient. Because apparently some super-powered jackass got dumped by his girlfriend and came here and is like, you must all understand one thing. I am going to conquer this planet and let you all know women suck.
I have invented a pill that gives worms to ex-girlfriends. Yeah.
They even talk about it. They're like, this is so backwards. Like, one guy got dumped and therefore all women have to act a certain way.
Well, at the risk of upsetting some people, that's kind of how religions go, don't they?
I don't even know if it's religion so much as just all of society. It's like threatening. It's like, but it's like, you don't understand why. And then it gets, it's a super progressive comic in some ways, in that it's like, no, the women should not be like the, and like everybody's like laughing. They're like, haha, there's a girl superhero. Mm-hmm. And she apprehends some bank robbers, and Volar's like, let me turn the bank robbers in. The police will just laugh if a girl turns in robbers.
Yeah. It's like, well, I'm trying to help you. Ah, we don't need a girl's help.
No.
Even not. Though she saves a kid from dying.
Right. And everybody's like, get out of here, woman.
We would have rather that child splattered on the ground.
Right.
You know.
So shocker twist at the end, though, is she does get her heart broken because secretly, well, they find out
can be deceiving.
Right. And I did not see this twist coming, Jeff. I'll tell you, I was probably blinded by it in some way.
I didn't see it coming either. Yeah.
Is that they're like, X day is coming. And when X day comes, the dad is telling Volar, you have to get her out of here before X day. And X day is the day that the super serum stops working, that this mask of Volar the man stops working. And Volar is actually a woman who's pretending to be a man so that this entire planet won't laugh at them. And Supergirl's like, this will never work. I fly back home. And then Volar's
and that's
like,
where the progressivism of it just kind of falls apart.
Right. We were a perfect match until. And it's not played off that way. But then Volar's like, well, she inspired me. I'll still be a superhero like she was, even if they're going to make fun of me on this planet. So it is a little bit weird. One of the reasons that I'll tell you I was a little blinded to the twist is I thought this was a different comic when I was reading it, because mm-hmm. I looked up weird Supergirl stories.
Uh-huh.
And this popped up on the list, but I thought it was the one that was prior on the list, which is when Superman has to lecture Supergirl about why incest is bad. So I thought the whole time Volar was Superman in disguise.
What?
Yeah, there's another comic apparently where she falls in love with Superman and he has to be like, here's why cousins can't get married.
Well, it worked for Jerry Lee Lewis. Who am I kidding? No, it didn't.
Boy. So that's a trip down memory lane with Supergirl comics. I highly recommend Adventure Comics that we read. I like that era of comics.
Maybe
I'll give New 52 a break, Jeff, because you're inspiring me to maybe think a little bit more about what New 52 represented.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I don't like New 52, but there's got to be something worthwhile in there, because it did last for a while.
We will dig into it and find out.
Yeah.
But when we come back, we'll go into a little bit more about Supergirl's history. I've got some Supergirl facts that we'll run through. And we will be right back.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Superman service at bizarro prices.
So we're talking today about the Flash movie and tangentially about Supergirl, because that's the only thing that we don't want to spoil in the movie. Normally we'll research oddball characters that are appearing for the first time, but Jeff and I are both trying to not ruin it of all these cameos that are supposedly going to happen in this movie, right?
Yep. I can't wait to see what they are, but I don't want to know ahead of time.
I hope it's Red Tornado.
That'd be cool. Has Red Tornado ever appeared in live action before?
I think Red Tornado was in the Flash TV series, maybe, or the Supergirl TV series.
Yeah, maybe Legends of Tomorrow, too.
It seems like every single DC character has been in one of their TV things, even if they haven't been in any of the movies. But I just thought I'd run down some of the history of Supergirl, get your reaction to it, Jeff. Apparently,
let's do it.
Apparently, DC tested out the concept of having a superpowered girl in the mold of Superman prior to the first appearance of Supergirl. Did you know this?
Is it Superwoman?
Superwoman.
Ooh.
What do you know about Superwoman?
I know that she is slightly older than a Supergirl.
1943, Lois Lane, Superwoman.
No way.
Yes, which a hospitalized Lois dreams she has gained Kryptonesque powers thanks to a blood transfusion from the Man of Steel. But it's all a dream. So it's like a dream And so they start telling other stories with Lois Lane getting the powers and acting as Superwoman, but they're not like, she's not really Superwoman, apparently. There is an Action Comics from 1951 where Lois gains the powers through something Lex Luthor invents.
Okay.
And in that one, she wears a short blonde wig and she looks almost like Supergirl. And so this is where they get the idea for Supergirl.
Okay.
Next appearance, 1949, Supergirl, which is in Superboy number 5. Story is called Superboy Meets Supergirl. I love this. Superboy meets Queen Lucy of the Latin American nation Borgonia.
Borgonia. Sounds like a lovely flower.
So she goes to, she's tired of being a queen, and she goes to Smallville. As you do.
Because that's what royalty does.
She's awesome. She's royalty in Latin America. She's super strong, super tough. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to go down to Smallville, meet Superboy. He puts on a show with her where he uses his powers to make her seem like a superhuman. And as Supergirl, she wears a tan dress with a brown cape and an S symbol.
Yuck.
That sounds horrible.
That's like, hi, I am UPS man. I'm here to deliver your packages.
I am Super Pooper. Just totally brown.
You win.
I actually like the way this story apparently ends, which is Superboy later saves her from a scheming minister.
Like a British minister or a preacher minister?
I assume a preacher minister. She returns her throne, leaving Superboy to wonder, does she ever think of me?
Aww.
Later, Superboy 78, in a story entitled Claire Kent, alias Super Sister. And apparently this is sort of where the idea of Supergirl sort of really takes off. Superboy saves an alien woman from a life-threatening crash. And I love this. After he ridicules her driving.
God.
The alien Charla turns Superboy into a girl.
Ah, a little taste of his own medicine, huh?
Right? You make fun of my driving? Blam, now you're a girl. How you like it?
Alakazam, boobs. There you go, buddy.
In Smallville, Clark Kent subsequently claims to be Claire Kent, an out-of-town relative staying with the Kents. When in costume, he plays Superboy's sister, Super Sister, and claims the two have exchanged places.
Okay, well, you know.
As a girl ridiculed and scorned by men, he wants to prove he is still as good as he used to be, as a boy. And in the end, it's revealed the transformation was just an illusion! Created by Charla, and Superboy learns his lesson. Do not ridicule women for their driving.
You sound like Snagglepuss when you're saying that.
Exit. Stage left.
Stage right, even. Oh, man.
So, I really
That's
had
some
fun.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, this is what I like. These are the comics that I used to like. And then the last one they have is Supergirl and Superman number 123 from August of 1958. Jimmy Olsen uses a magic totem to wish a, quote, Supergirl into existence. We've all been there.
No comment.
As a
I've seen Weird Science. I know how it goes.
Right? And he's wishing her in existence as a companion and helper for Superman, though.
It's like, oh, because, you know, Jimmy's a giving, caring kind of guy.
Right. We'll leave.
He wants his pal to have help.
However, the two frequently get in each other's way until Supergirl is fatally injured, protecting Superman from a kryptonite meteor that a criminal has dropped towards him. At her insistence, Jimmy then wishes the dying girl out of existence.
That's horrible. That's horrible.
But it does say that DC was using the story to gauge like how people would react to an actual Supergirl comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And the uniform she wore was very close to the one Helen Slater wore in the 1984 movie. So,
which look, let's talk about Helen Slater.
Okay.
Mm. the best flying effects in any Superman movie. I know I've said it before, but perhaps the worst super film ever made.
Right.
Yeah. That's all I got to say.
So, I mean, overall, that's the history and the precursor. And it was shortly after that. That was like 1958, 1959 mm-hmm. is when they launched a Supergirl title. Supergirl is, of course, the daughter of Superman's uncle, Zor-El.
Mm-hmm.
Last survivor of Argo City.
Okay.
City in a bottle.
She's not from... Well, is that the one that the bottled city? I thought that was Kandor.
Nope. Argo City survived the explosion of Krypton and drifted through space.
Mm-hmm.
The city had been covered by a plastic dome for weather moderation devised by Zor-El, younger brother of Jor-El, and the dome held together a huge chunk of that city. Or you've seen it.
Sure.
In a little bottle.
Yeah.
And so they sent Kara Zor-El out just like they did to and they sent him and they it says in the background that they actually did dress her in a Supergirl costume, which made sense then in the new 52 when I read it, is they right. wanted Superman to recognize her when she showed up.
Right.
As related to him.
Because, you know, the superpowers and the speaking Kryptonian wouldn't give it away.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So that's I didn't realize, you know, there's a lot of interesting information is that Supergirl and her secret identity of Linda Lee Danvers was a mm-hmm. soap opera actress in a soap opera called Secret Hearts.
I did not know that. I knew it was Linda Lee Danvers, but
Linda Lee.
Because the Superman creators have a thing for alliterative character names.
That is true. That's a comics thing that I think Stan Lee pioneered because he couldn't remember names.
Literally, oh, that's Bruce. As good an explanation as any.
No, literally, Bruce Banner was not his name in the first issue of the Hulk, but Stan Lee had trouble keeping names, first and last names of characters straight, so he always made sure that he named them same first letter, so he'd keep them Bruce Banner. Peter Parker. He's like, yep, I got it. Okay. Their name stuck with him better.
Reed Richards. Tony
Victor,
Stark.
In all Victor place. Victor Von Doom. Eventually you run out of stuff.
You do.
But so, I mean, you know, Supergirl's an interesting character. I doubt that they bring in the bottled city of Argo into the Flash movie, but, you know, it could be a thing.
No, they probably won't, because what they established in the Snyderverse is that she came to Earth on the same ship that Superman came in, because when they go in there, there's an open pod, and Zack Snyder has said that was Supergirl's pod, and she's already out in the world somewhere.
Okay, good job, Zack Snyder. They'll erase all that soon.
Well, they gotta go from there and then change it to whatever they want.
Right. Any other thoughts on Supergirl, Jeff? You want to talk about the movie?
I've always liked the character. I was very disappointed in the movie. I'm not going to lie. But it's not because of Helen Slater. Helen Slater did a very nice job in the part. She wasn't given anything to do, really. I mean, she wasn't given any... her character wasn't really given any true substance. But had there been more, I think she would have been just fine. And I like Melissa Benoist as Supergirl in the most recent TV series as well.
I did like that too. I think that was pretty good stuff. I only watched the first few episodes, but that's how mm-hmm. it is with TV now.
Yeah, I usually just saw her on the crossovers that they did every year with the CW Arrowverse characters.
All right. Well, that wraps us for Supergirl. We will take a quick break and we will be right back to wrap up the show. We'll see what this button does.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Luckily, we're in tip-top condition. It'll be faster if we run.
It will be faster if we run, just like the Flash.
Run, Barry, run.
So what do you know about Flashpoint? Anything? Because I'm hearing this movie takes off from Flashpoint a lot.
I don't think they're going to do a true Flashpoint adaptation, but they're going to use it as kind of a loose framework for, just like they did on the Grant Gustin TV series. They did Flashpoint there, But of course you have to adapt it because that show didn't have access to all the characters from the comic book. And this movie, I don't think, is going to take the time to go into all the detail that the comic book was about. I mean, I don't think we're going to get Thomas Wayne as Batman. Because there's already too many Batman in it. So
too many Batman. That's a good band name. Too many Batman.
You might get a cease and desist.
Is it Batman or Batman's?
Batsmen.
Batsmen.
Yes. No, that's probably on a cricket team.
Yeah, you're right. So quick, as we're wrapping up, what's a Flash from his rogues gallery villain you would love to see appear in this movie?
I don't know if we're going to get the actual reverse Flash, Eobard Thawne. He would be the obvious choice, but it looks like they're going to do a dark Flash.
Okay.
Or the black Flash or whatever. It's not Hunter Zolomon Zoom, but it's kind of a different kind of amalgamation. They might just be coming up with a totally new character that just is based kind of on those things.
So you're hoping for a speedster.
I would love to see Eobard Thawne because he is the classic thorn in Barry's side.
I think I got enough of that from the Flash TV series.
Boy, we sure did.
But just be me.
No, it's not you. They did it too much. But I'd like to see him on the big screen to see what they would do. That said, if they don't have a speedster, I would love to see any one of the classic Mirror Master, the Top, Captain Boomerang, any of those guys, Weather Wizard, bring them on. Let's see
Weather
what they
Weather Wizard. What if they got Jeff Altman to come back?
That would be fun. I don't know. I don't know how good he'd look in the suit these days, though.
Who knows? They could CGI him.
Well, they can de-age him just like they're doing with Harrison Ford in the new Indiana Jones movie.
Sure. No, I was gonna go Mirror Master. I would love to see Mirror Master on the screen, and I'm not sure why. I just think that'd be an interesting villain for him to take on.
And the powers, that'd be fun to everybody. Like, oh, portals were kind of cool. No, you have no idea. Mirror Master was portals before portals were cool.
That is true. So that wraps up our preview of Flash, because we don't want to spoil too much for ourselves. But we will be back, right, Jeff, after we get to see it and talk you through our thoughts about Flash, talk about any surprises and cameos, and we'll do our best to fill in the blanks on any Easter eggs or anything that show up there. But this was fun, Jeff. Thanks for getting me revved up for the Flash.
And as always, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, cheers, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.
And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us know on Twitter, @CasualComicsGuy, at our blog, CasualComicsGuy.com, or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.
All righty.